You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 32 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Chair VP.
Junior Vice President.
If last week's episode was too heartwarming for you, this one's going to shock you to your core.
If you don't like Droog, then you don't like truth.
Get him.
I don't goof around in the soundproof booth.
Damn. Now that was a goddamn perfect intro there. More love for your old Droog.
I've gotten three old Droog lyrics in a row in these podcasts.
He owes you.
I used to go Deadwood. Now I'm going old Droog lyrics until I get sick of the album, which has not happened yet.
Hmm. Have we come down a little bit from last week? The big special, of course, was kind of emotional in here. It was a big week for you. A lot of press. Like, do you worry at all, like, all the attention on the special is kind of taken away from the podcast?
I think it's helped the podcast tremendously. If you look at, like, the rankings and everything,
okay.
Like, it has gone up. And I feel like I've done press. Like, I did, like, Rogan. I did, like, Bill Simmons, where I've, like, forgotten to mention. We've talked about it. Like, oh, I've got a podcast, but I haven't, like, named it.
Mm.
Like, it's been, I keep forgetting to.
It's almost like it's overshadowing.
Even with Bill Simmons, I don't think I mentioned the name of the special. that I've just been, like, getting through this stuff. But the press has been so overwhelmingly good. I mean, we talked about the New York Times review last week. There was a Vulture review that was great. And then The Ringer wrote a piece that was, like, phenomenal, that I was I loved, not for, like, just for the good things they said, but for, like, the kind of, like, douchey things they said about me. Like, you ever read a profile about, like, you read a profile about
what did they
singer,
say that was douchey?
Like, when they're like Anthony knows the restaurant well, and then the quote is the baked crab hand rolls are a must. Like, that made me laugh so hard because I always recommend the baked crab hand rolls there, but to put it in the profile just, like, made me feel like I was one of those celebrities who gets profiles written about them like that. You know, it, like, reminded me of, like, MIA, like, doing a profile, and they're like, she said, like, blah, 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 as she reached for another, like, truffle French fry. Like, just, like, that kind of thing that's, like, a slight, like, not a dig, but, like, a slight, like, this is the kind of person.
I think it was a dig.
Not a dig at all, but it's also, like, just putting in baked crab hand rolls or a must, or, like, describing what I'm wearing by the brand. I was just like, I love this so much. Like, I couldn't be happier with Robert Mays for that that profile. I still haven't thanked him yet, but I have certainly retweeted it and enjoyed it. And then I did Bill Simmons' podcast, which was hilarious because I'm like, there's no way. All right, I don't know if you guys know this. We Greg and I took a long time to figure out where we were going to bring this podcast, where we were going to take it. And Comedy Central, at the time that we started negotiations, did not have
didn't exist
a
in
podcast
terms of podcasts.
Branch. Yeah, they didn't have any podcasts. So we were talking to, like, Podcast One, like, a couple other, like, the big ones, like, the big dogs. And The Ringer, like, Bill Simmons, like, emailed me one night and was like, I heard you're bringing the podcast back. Let's do it here. And I was like, that'd be great, thinking that he was going to, like, get in touch with the agent and, like, do it. And then you just didn't hear from him again. And then, like, I had somebody reach out, like, because Greg's going through his contract with the NFL. We had to wait a little bit. We reach out again to hear nothing back. Then I have, like, someone who knows him reach out. And he's like, oh, I just don't know if there's room for another NFL podcast on the Ringer. And we're like, okay. And then as we were signing the deal, he, like, comes back and is like, we got to do the podcast this year. And I was like, great. And I had my agents get in touch with them and, like, never heard back. But I was like, okay, there's no way Bill brings this up on his podcast. And one of the first things he says is like, so you got this great podcast on Comedy Central. Why don't you do it with us? And I start laughing. I'm like, Bill, your exact words were, I don't know if we have room for one. And all of his employees are dying laughing because they know how Bill is. Like, I love Bill Simmons, but he is a forgetful man in terms of getting back to people or negotiating with people. And and then he got defensive a little bit that I just, like, kind of walked it back. And I was like, well, Greg had a contract with the NFL that we had to kind of worry about. And then I just got an overall deal with Comedy Central, so it made sense. And I was like, but we only have 8-9 episodes left to do on the contract. And he was like, really?
Leverage.
He was like, you could bring it here? He's like, if you're serious, let's talk. So while we renegotiate with Comedy Central for season two, The Ringer's getting in the mix.
Ooh.
And I don't know how much they're going to get in the mix or if we ever hear back from them again.
Well, maybe not after this story that you're telling if it gets back.
I think this is like classic Bill. It would be like, I met Jeselnik once and he was kind of a jerk to me. I wouldn't be mad. Like, I met Justin like once and he was a little bit conceited. I'd be like, uh-huh, that's how I roll. So that was,
and he's a fan. He's reached out to you many times. This is the second time you've been on the podcast. Maybe he's just, you know, he's like a guy at a restaurant that's got a big appetite. You can't finish everything.
He's a huge fan. He's got a lot of stuff going on, and he negotiates in a different way than other people do. He kind of wanted to do like outside the lines, and I was like, no, we're coloring inside the lines here. And then we got this deal. So I assume we'll be back on Comedy Central. I assume Comedy Central will come to the table with a reasonable, better than reasonable offer, and we'll be back here. But if not, the Ringer is like Tarzan standing on top of a tree, holding onto a vine, just waiting to swing down and pick up the three of us and take us across the street to where they do their podcast. So
strategic. Yeah. I mean, we're out here like LeBron James, like Kevin Durant, you know, players that no longer really wait for the owners or anything to determine what they're doing. They're just making their own future.
I'm Dame Lillard. I'm just putting up game-winning shots from the logo and then staring straight into the camera like a boss. That's what I'm doing. But it was a tough week to get through in terms of there's so much being written about me. And there's so much like on Twitter
sound stuff
that it was just so fun to get drunk and then read about yourself. That I did that for like a long time, and I kept meaning like, okay, I can't drink now. I've got this TV show to do. I've got to switch gears, and I finally did that Sunday. Like, I did not drink watching Game of Thrones.
What?
Did not drink last night, and now I think I'm clean for a while.
Wow, two straight nights.
Yeah, but once you kind of get going, like,
next stop AA
meetings. You wake up hungover, and like the best thing you can imagine doing is drinking a beer. Yeah, I was doing that for a little while. Like, I was supposed to go to a friend's birthday party on Friday night. I'd gotten so drunk Thursday night celebrating with friends that I got home from work on Friday and just went to sleep, and then woke up at like 4 in the morning and was like, oh, sorry. And I was looking forward to the party too.
Good but, friend?
Pretty good, yeah. It's bad that I missed their birthday. I have to. They were at my birthday. It was a joint birthday party, man and wife. I don't want to say the name because if you weren't invited, you would feel bad. I'm sure all my comedy compatriots listen to this podcast and would be upset. But I finally chilled out, calmed down. Now it feels good not to drink. I'm eating healthier. I've been working out. And then I had the test show today. The first when you do a TV show, especially if you don't do a pilot, you do a test show where like the whole crew comes in and you basically act like you're doing a real show. With a guest, and I literally just walked from there to here, and it went great. You know, so we had a lot of different ideas crammed in. It was an extra long show just to see what worked, and a lot of things we thought were gonna work didn't. A lot of things we thought wouldn't work were great, and it was just like, okay, now we know kind of this vibe. And I'd be like, my instinct was to do this, and they'd be like, oh, follow that instinct, like go ahead, we got you. And it was just so much easier, so much more fun than the Justin Lick Offensive. The Justin Lick Offensive was had some great moments. But it was a lot of work and a lot of memorization. You've got like all this business to take care of. And this was just asking questions and riffing with friends and goofing around, having a good time without a studio audience.
How do you know what worked or not in the moment?
You can hear the crew laughing, and you can hear, basically it's more like myself and my guest, Emily Heller, who's a good friend of mine, a great comic. Listen to her or watch her brand new stand-up special called Ice Thickeners on Comedy Central. I think you can see the whole thing on YouTube. We're on the Comedy Central digital. But it's a great special. She's very funny. Used to open for me. So she came and did me the favor. So like, if we were having fun laughing at things, you know, there were certain questions that I asked that she enjoyed and some that she did not. That it was like, okay, this is very helpful. And I'm very excited for the end of the month. I've got like 3 or 4 weeks now. And then we start taping. And then I have like 2 or 3 weeks to tape 6 episodes. And then I'm done.
As we're kind of cranking down the last episodes here of season one of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vandy Project.
Jeremy B.
Junior Vice President.
Leading up to Clusterfest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Clusterfest. All at once. June 23rd is Clusterfest.
Has anyone looked to see what that number is? Like, is that like our final episode? Is the live one of the 40?
Does that count as an episode?
Oh, for sure.
Really?
That is right around. I think the next week actually would be the last one.
Yeah. It might be the goodbye episode.
Wow.
Might be the, hey, we're moving over to the Ringer.
I mean, episode. I do feel, no, I guess I shouldn't feel for, you know, the suits Comedy Central. I mean, if they're listening to this, just trying to, okay, have fun. Let's listen to Anthony talk about his special. And then you're just jamming in potential negotiations with other networks. Just seems unsavory.
Yeah, well, I'll
you're like
you this.
Kyrie Irving, you know, talking about other teams and saying he doesn't care about the Celtics before he's even taken the jersey off.
Listen, the New York Times already compared me to Kyrie Irving.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. But I just think that here's what I'll say. All right.
No Iverson.
Though. I like the podcast. I like doing it here, but we've had a problem with advertising, and they've always been like, we're working on it. And then I finally heard from my manager that it's tough to get advertising for me specifically.
Mm.
It's tough to get companies to get on board with me. And I think that's a Comedy Central issue. I think it's a branding issue. They don't know where to go to get people who would want to sponsor me. There are people who would want to do that.
Sure.
Your Christian Mingles, you know what I mean? Your FarmersOnly.com, who would be thrilled to get a piece of
this. How about books? You know, what a great business, the publishing industry.
Exactly.
We're selling books. We're selling movies.
Exactly. We should totally
watch
be.
Out.
We should totally be.
We're selling Kyrie Irving jerseys.
But I would think that maybe another network would have a better idea of how to make us more profitable.
We've got moms involved. We've got kids reading things.
Mm-hmm.
It appeals to all sorts of demographics.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's on board, except for the people who matter the most. So we'll see. We'll see. But it was a good week, a very unhealthy week, a very, like, I can't believe I did this to myself again. Work was a struggle. Like, we didn't get much done at work this week. But then they were impressed. My boss told, well, not my boss, but my showrunner was like, it was like you flipped a switch.
For the test show?
Yeah, it was like coming in this week, you were just like, okay, special's over. Now it's time to focus on this show.
Is it hard with the test show, like getting the same juice and feeling as if it's a real show? For instance, like if, and I know it's very different, but like, I have trouble at NFL Network. If something's pre-taped, it's never as good as if it's live. I don't know if, you know what I mean? Like, if you know that it's a test show going in, do you actually feel like it's an actual show and you get a good dress rehearsal, or it's a different?
I understand what you mean by, like, if it's pre-taped, it's not as like the same as, it's like if you watch SNL live, you laugh more than if you watch it on
right.
TiVo like 3 days later. But this was Comedy Central executives, like the top executives sitting to the side.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like, this is, you better not screw around. And like, and I really wanted to find out information. I wanted to find out what worked and what didn't, because now we've got 3 weeks to write and correct the rest of the episodes. That I really took it seriously. And since I haven't done it yet, I mean, the whole thing might be bad. How good am I going to be? How much work do I have to put in? That I learned a lot. But I took it very seriously. I did not, it's not like, oh, I can just half-ass this. It's a test show.
When people ask me what your show is, how should I answer it?
Say it's like people Anthony Jeselnik's Charlie Rose, only with more sexual harassment. It's got a very Charlie Rose look to it, and just a very kind of like, let's just hang out. It's almost like a podcast. It's almost like a live podcast with some of my favorite comedian friends. So you get to see a different angle.
So it's like another part of your career that's going to overshadow this podcast.
Everything I do overshadows this podcast, all right? I ate an apple on the way over here that overshadows this podcast.
You hear that, Ringer?
But I was talking to Nate Bargatze, and I had dinner last night, and he was asking me about the podcast, thinking about getting into it, and he was like, how much do you guys make? And I told him, I was like, I split it with Greg, but this is how much we get per episode. And he was just like, what? Like, could not believe it. And I think we're getting cheated. I think we're getting swindled. But the live podcast is coming up. Have you guys gotten your flights yet to
no, not
to
yet.
San Francisco?
No, good point.
Then what we might do, we'll talk about this off the
road
air.
Trip.
But I want to say it right now. I'm coming in. I'm going to go on Friday night and just get there, like, because I like to be there for the whole day, like when I have stuff to do. You guys can come in Saturday if you want. But I think what I might do, since I think I'm paying you guys, is I could just buy your flight, put you up in the hotel, and then take it out of what I'm giving you. Like, you guys are all in.
I like that we're just talking about this on the podcast.
Why not? People want to know. People want to know that I'm the man, that I wear the pants. I'm the only one in this room wearing pants.
I mean, the last few weeks have been nice, but I feel like, you know, at some point the podcast kind of needs to return, you know, to the real, you know, center, the stars of the show, me and Erica. This podcast.
Like, why would you even say that?
Like, why would you? I'm just saying.
Why would you try to hurt my feelings?
I'm saying what the listeners are thinking. They're just like, oh yeah, you know, okay, a few weeks, Anthony heavy. Let's get back. You know, it's kind of like when, like your favorite sitcom. You know, they do a few shows about Buster on Arrested Development. But okay, let's get back to the A story.
Yeah, yeah. But do you think that if I was like sick one day and you two came in here and did it together? Do you think a single person besides Debbie would listen to it?
It's automatic downloads. I don't think it would change that much. People would like it.
It might get automatically downloaded, but no, people would be like, what the hell is this? Like, it would be more popular if we did it without the microphones than if we did it without me. Like, if we just didn't put it out, it would get more listeners than it would if I wasn't here.
Yeah.
That's how important I am to this process.
You are. You're huge.
You seem frazzled. I mean, the microphones thing didn't even really make sense.
I'm frazzled in the way that, like, King Kong is frazzled when airplanes are shooting at him, you know? Could they eventually kill him? Yeah, but for a little while, I'm going to smack airplanes around, all right? And when I fall, I'm going to kill a lot of people because I'm falling off the Empire State Building. And if you drop a penny off that thing, it's going to be bad. If you drop a giant gorilla, who knows what the damage is going to be?
Now, I'm looking forward to
'Twas Beauty
San Francisco. I'm looking
beast.
Forward to riding the good ship Jeselnik all the way up to San Francisco. We are riding this plane wherever it goes.
Oh, yeah.
Next season, whatever happens, Emeka's, I think, going to come up to San Francisco. It'll be a whole thing.
I like that.
It'll be a great live show for those who haven't listened.
Our podcast is early. We're all on Saturday the 22nd. Mm. Our podcast is early. Then my show is a couple hours later, and then I have to do another podcast like later that night.
With who?
This Vulture podcast called like Good Jokes. I'm just like a guest where they play a clip of one of my jokes and then we discuss the process behind it, which of course I'm looking forward to more than anything.
Hmm.
I have another podcast this week and then press will die down a little bit. Got a Kimmel spot, got a Seth Meyers spot, Seth Meyers spot coming
up.
You're on the broadcast too.
I'm on the broadcast. I listened to it.
Yeah.
It was excellent. Thank you for getting me out there to those YouTube
Wait,
women.
Again?
Yeah. We did a little, you know,
like
chit-chat.
Like the show got released before you got here the other day after I did my SiriusXM radio takeover.
Yeah. It was just, I wanted to get inside his psyche, you know, releasing the special on the special day. So
no, it's a great move by you to use his special to, you know,
not
help
that great.
Yourself.
He didn't even retweet it.
It's good, but I'll make one more announcement before we move on. I believe I can say this now. I wasn't allowed to say it for a little while, but I'm going to go ahead and just say it anyway now. The TV show is called Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik, and I believe we are premiering the first Friday of September, like the first Friday after Labor Day weekend. That's tentative right now, but it looks like that's going to be it. Starting 11 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on Friday nights. It's going to be a great show, really fun. People aren't going to be expecting it, but I'm excited about it. And if I'm excited about it, you know it's got to be better than this podcast.
This is taking a strange turn, this episode.
What do you mean?
Well, just you burying the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP. I haven't buried it. I'm like the opposite. I'm like Jesus Christ moving a boulder out of the way so the podcast can get out of the cave and go to the ringer.
No, I know. I do know some people... heard you on Joe Rogan, which has a huge audience, and then found our podcast because of that. The same will be for Simmons. I mean, Simmons is massive. I've been listening to and reading Bill Simmons for almost 20 years. I'm a huge fan. I'm curious. I'll ask you more off air. Just, I don't know. I'm curious, like, what he's like or whatever. But yeah, Peter Schrager of Good Morning Football at NFL Network said he heard you on Joe Rogan and then binge listened like 12 episodes of this podcast, which sounds like an insane thing to do over a weekend.
I don't think so.
But I support it.
I don't think so. People want to hear. People, it's like this podcast is kind of, it's almost like Game of Thrones where there's like a little bit of a mystery. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite thing, talking to Bill Simmons. I think it was off the air. I hung out for like an hour afterwards talking to him.
Really?
His friends. Oh, yeah. Bill and I are cool. We go back. And he's like, you've been watching Game of Thrones? I'm like, oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, when Arya kills the Night King? And I go, I'm two episodes behind. And the look on his face was the fucking funniest thing I've ever seen. And I was like, I'm just kidding. And everyone bust up. But it's like, what a mean thing to do to someone. Like, I'm two episodes behind. What are you doing? What are you doing, Bill?
That's awesome.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. More press to come. And it's all been glowing.
Yeah.
Glowing press.
I haven't really seen any bad stuff.
It has been. Anthony is like a critic's favorite for sure. Like, right. I mean, aren't you?
Here's how I feel. I'll
I'm not saying you're not popular, but and maybe this one is getting better press than ever before. Who knows? Grammy audience, voters.
Emmys.
Can you get Emmys? What Emmys is it? What can you get?
It's Emmys and Grammys.
Could you get something?
Both. I could.
Do it. Voters.
I feel like that this might be my like scent of a woman. That like that they're like they feel like I would be rewarded for my body of work. Like Thoughts and Prayers was so popular that they're like, oh, we kind of missed that, and we've had 5 years to like kind of absorb it. Now we've got to award this one because his body of work is so amazing.
If you're like, saying that, greatest. Am I the woman?
No, you're Carlito's Way, the movie that came after A Scent of a Woman, that was great but didn't get nominated.
Right.
But Al Pacino got so many nominations, never won. And then one for Son of a Woman, which is not his best performance. But the critics just were finally like, we've got to give it to him now. Hmm. But I think that's where I am. That's where I lie.
Who knows? Maybe this podcast will win some podcast award down the line.
Do they have a podcast award?
They do have some random ones. There's no like official one. But it can kind of, especially down the stretch here, it'll be like the story of like a lifelong friendship and a comedian just as like he was starting to kind of become too full of himself or something, like just like as he's taking off into the stratosphere and then stops caring about his good friend.
We didn't have a podcast 10 years ago when that happened. No, I think we'll see. We'll see what happens. But obviously this podcast is number 3 in my heart. Now let's get to, did we get any notes? Girls love to dance. Erica, I feel like that's the song that plays in your head when you step out of the shower.
It's exactly
like when you're like getting
is.
Ready for the night. Like that's the song that you hear in your head.
Yeah.
Did we get any notes? No, of course not. Comedy Central wouldn't mess with me at this point. But we did get like the negotiation process has started and they've given us like a bunch of information. Then my manager was even like, you're not going to know what this means. I don't even know what it means. But we'll look at it and then start. But just know Comedy Central. We're happy not getting any notes.
Hmm.
We're not happy not getting any ads. And we got some options. So come to the table and bring some food because we're going to be there for a while.
I'll give you a note.
Give me a note.
Didn't even ask how my week was. And give me a chance to say it was my 12th anniversary with my wife, Emeka. Totally overlooking that. You're always taking shots at our marriage. And look it, we're strong.
I can't believe we made it
this far and we're doing pretty well.
I did know that because you sent me a picture of you and your wife in front of my billboard.
Well, we walked past it. We went out to
I haven't seen it yet.
We went out to dinner on
Melrose
Ronin. It was this pizza place. It was so good. I recommend it highly.
Melrose and what?
Right near Sierra Bonita, probably like 4 blocks away, like between that and La Brea. It's pretty new. It was amazing. But yeah, as we were walking back to the car, we walked right under Jesselnick.
What did you get her for your anniversary?
I'm not talking about that.
Was it like...
You didn't get her anything.
Did you get her nothing? Did you get her dinner? Or did you get her some sort of like... Did you get her what you got her last year, which was a giant box of different toys? If you know what I mean.
No, Tim Pussy's right. I really didn't get her much of anything.
Did she get you?
Yeah, she got me a pretty great gift.
What'd she get you?
I mean, it's dorky-ish. You know, it's like, but...
I believe it. Is it that jacket? Let me guess.
No.
Is it that shirt?
No.
The watch?
It is the watch.
I noticed that watch. I was like, you don't normally wear...
Well, it was like, it's one of those like... It's one of those like Garmin watches that's like you can. It basically replaces, you know, an iPod. They don't sell iPods anymore.
You
can run and have like a wireless. You can listen to it on wireless. You know, you can listen to your Spotify on wireless while you're like running, which is kind of the perfect
part. Your wife is tracking you.
I mean, I don't think so.
For sure.
That's not how it works. That
for
they
sure.
do have apps for that, but she doesn't have access to this.
Oh, on a Garmin, you can track a Garmin for sure. My mom got me a Garmin a couple years ago for Christmas. Lasted about 2 months and then broke.
Like I wish Emeka had that much interest in me that she would track me anywhere.
She's interested in you. She just knows that you have no other options. You know what I mean? You're like that. You've got nowhere to go.
I don't know why I brought this up.
Yeah, it was a huge mistake. All we had to do was talk about, did we get any notes?
I got a note about Greg. Someone sent me something that you did about 10 years ago. Something you said that was pretty funny that was on this podcast that I want to play it. It's just
please.
A little clip.
What?
Yeah.
Greg Rosenthal, who's an NFL.com guy, said this whole thing. He described the whole thing. He described in this article Dave's history, his other battery charges, assault,
really?
This, that.
So he's very well versed in the world of Dave Megan.
This isn't his first time he's heard Dave Megan and rape in the same sentence. And he says, after all of the shit he said that, quote, that said, the sentence seems excessive.
Does it?
You fucking asshole. No, it doesn't. I want him in the cell
Rosenthal,
right next to him.
You're a cunt.
You piece of shit. I want him going to see Tom Payne is what I want.
And he's got a little blue check mark next to his name on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I hope
who are these assholes?
And
I don't even know what this is.
Call him a cunt.
Friend him and call him a cunt. Follow him and call him a cunt. I'm tired of this.
That was 10 years ago on Crime and Sports, which is two comedians.
What are the names?
Let's see. James Pietragallo and Jimmy Wiseman.
I don't even know what they're talking about.
Never heard of either of them.
Apparently you wrote
there's no way I wrote that. I promise.
I got screenshots and of the article. That said, the sentence seems excessive. It's possible.
Oh, actually, you know what that is.
And then you also said it sounds like a rejected Seinfeld story idea.
Unfortunately, like, the truth in this story is super boring.
I mean, there actually was an episode of Seinfeld where Dave Meggett raped Elaine. they got lost in a parking garage.
Dave Meggett is a cretin, like the lowest of the low, a former giant. I know this sounds like I'm making this. It makes it a boring story that at my old job, Pro Football Talk, at one point they like redid the entire blog system and it scrambled up who was like the author of all the articles, essentially.
Oh, so you didn't even write that?
And my name is now on like 90% of Mike Florio, who runs the site's articles that he wrote between 2008 and 2011. And it drives him fucking crazy because my name's on his website in their archive. There's no way I'd be like, he joked about like making Chris Berman voices in the shower room, which is like such a terrible type of joke that he would make. But yeah, that is actually
that's funny. Same
it's
thing
actually
happened
the
to me. I've gotten in trouble for things I've tweeted in the past or said. It's always been Florio. Like, I think once Pro Football Talk got scrambled up, it really messed with a lot of careers.
I can't believe he wrote that, though. He was a lawyer, but still, that's pretty rough.
I mean something like I would have said, which I'm like, okay.
I just, when someone sent me that clip,
That's great.
That's great. I'm glad Greg could lie like that just off the top of his head and blame it on someone who's no longer alive. Dave Florio. And that was Did We Get Any Notes? Now let's take it down to Erica's Corner. Erica Tamposi is our 27-year-old producer. We love her. I'd love to have I mean, she would do it. I feel like she's that good a friend. Probably might back out at the last minute. Who knows? But I would still ask her, you know, just what do you have to lose? If she says no, it's fine. If she says yes, hey,
I'm going to fucking kill you.
And everyone loves it. So we wanted to give her a chance to shine by giving her a couple minutes on her own podcast, Greg and Mine's podcast, just to talk about whatever she wants. Erica, what do you got for us this week?
Jesus. We have an email today. If you want to send an email, the email is jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com. Most of them are trash. So if you think you could send a better one, I would love to see them. Today we have an email from Jordan A. And it said, Anthony, you asked for a better punchline than a to-go box for your abortion joke. How about a world's best mom mug with love?
See, this drives me crazy. I didn't ask for a better punchline.
Let's give a little bit backstory. Okay, this is from your special, right?
In my special, I talk about taking a friend to get an abortion as the final like 15-minute chunk of the special, which I think is the most powerful part of the special. And critics haven't talked about it that much. They've mentioned it, but they're not like, wow, this is like a tour de force, which I would describe it as. This whole special is great. That last 15 minutes
Me
is
too.
A tour de force.
That might be my favorite 15 minutes of any of your specials.
Yeah, and I think as it goes on and rolls out, people will like start to appreciate it more. But at one point, I had this one line where I'm like, I want to get my friend a gift. Because I don't know what to say to her after she comes out of the abortion clinic. What do I get her? And I look it up online and they're like, don't get her flowers. Flowers are the worst gift you can get someone after an abortion because it's like a romantic gesture. You just got to take them home and like put them in water and deal with them. Don't do that. And I was like, actually, I bet the worst gift would be. And I think at first I said, I used to say when I first wrote the bit, I would say a newborn baby.
And yeah, I saw that. And I actually saw you say that.
I'm on tour with Chris Rock. I'm doing the bit and he's like, Anthony, that was great. But you can beat newborn baby. Like newborn baby is funny, but it's not like the funniest. Why don't you try bassinet? A bassinet. And I'm like, bassinet's kind of a funny word. And I'm like, fuck, like this is Chris Rock giving me a joke. And I'm like, I don't want to use someone else's joke. And he's like, I've got jokes in everybody's specials, man. He's like, I like you'd be surprised the names of the people that I've gotten in specials. Like, take my joke. Like, take it. It's yours. And so all day long, I'm kind of annoyed. But I'm like repeating it. I go out on stage the next night. Chris is watching. I say bassinet to complete silence. Like a newborn baby would get like some laughs. Bassinet, dead silence. And I walked off stage so happy. And everyone's like, why are you so happy? I'm like, because Chris's joke bombed. Like I don't have to use someone else's joke. I can come up with my own. But it made me start thinking, what is the worst thing you could get someone? And in my act now, I say a to-go box. That would be a terrible thing to give someone. And people keep giving me other options. Now the special's out. Like, what if you said this? It's like, I've considered a world's best mom mug. I've considered all of the different things that people keep telling me. And you're all wrong. Everyone is wrong. To-go box is the worst. The worst gift you could get someone. So stop trying to give me advice. I did it. It's over. Newborn, no more advice.
Well, I'm not following your advice. But I don't know. Newborn baby, the first one.
Yeah, but you wouldn't. You can't give someone a newborn.
Right, baby. But it's silly. It's a silly, funny. It's just a funny. You say newborn baby, and you imagine that, and it makes me laugh.
It's no. It listen. That's a funny idea, but when I
doesn't really
when
make
I
sense.
Use that, people in the audience would. I could hear people being like newborn baby, like right before I got to it. Like people trying to guess the punchline.
Really?
Wow. Oh yeah. Because it's like it's almost too obvious that no one guesses to go box. That's why it is. So great. So Jordan A, you know what? I bet this is probably Chris Rock underneath like a different underneath it using a fake email address.
Huge fan of the show.
Trying
we
to
know
get
that.
In touch with
yeah.
Me,
huge fan
trying
of
to get
the pod.
In touch and get the last word in. And I'm not going to allow it. Chris, I love you to death. You've been a great friend and a mentor to me and been very helpful, but not in this case. And that was Erica's Corner.
We just ate a big plate of spaghetti. Now it's time for the club. So let's get ready.
I style my hair with a lot of moves.
And with my wig, I never lose.
What in the hell was that?
Comedy Central's Damn Fine Library.
Is there a name of the group or the song?
It's called Why Are We?
I miss Ellis reading things.
Same.
Yeah, we all do.
All right, let's start headlines with the Buffalo Bills, who were... in their fans, who were a common story on the old Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project,
RJVP,
because their fans were always in the news for their crazy acts, tailgating, a lot of oral sex, a lot of just sex, jumping on tables, guys on fire, just like they were the craziest tailgating fans in the league.
And it kept escalating. It was like they had to top each other.
Right.
And they'd be like, stop lighting tables on fire and jumping through them. And that just made them do it all the
time. And more. It was wild. I mean, it was, just people having sex right out in the open
and
all over
the
place.
I don't think anyone ever really got seriously hurt either. It wasn't like at Dodger Stadium, like someone gets beat to death after every game.
Right.
But these, it was like, it was embarrassing to Buffalo. They
it was
like
please
stop doing
getting
this.
Caught on fire, but in a humorous way.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills have been trying to curb this the last couple seasons, and they finally have come out with an official policy that will require buses and limo buses to purchase a tailgating package to get into an area that they, I think, are calling essentially like a tailgating zone, but it's going to be tailgate village, but it's going to be more organized by the team. It's going to have, you know, music acts and stuff like that, and people are going to have to pay to get in it, and it's all set up to curb wild tailgating.
And this is why I love the story, is that it is not going to work. All right? Like, if you're a crazy person, right, you're a big drinker, you go out to a bar, and you get lit up, and you're acting crazy, and they're like, oh my God, this person's getting too crazy. You know what we're going to do? We're going to charge them $50 to get in the bar. If you got to pay $50 to get in the bar, then you're really going buck ass wild. So you just paid $50 to get in there. Like, yeah. They're going to tear those musical acts apart. They are going to go so much. They're going to like be stacking tables, lighting them on fire. I guarantee one Bills player gets lit on fire this year.
You think he's going into the tailgate village?
I think they're
gonna, before
like,
the game?
I think they're going to get there early and like light them up as they try to get into the game. Like, they are going to take this as a personal challenge. It couldn't backfire more than if they were like, here's a free area where you guys are allowed to come in. It's free, but you got to sign a waiver. We got high police presence, but it's like, it's free. This is for you. Then maybe that would work. But to be like, you got to pay a bunch of money to get in here on your bus, it's just going to make people sneak in harder and harder stuff and go crazier.
You heard us, Bills fans. Take it as a challenge. I mean, it came from a lot of like the companies that bring fans to the game. They were complaining about it, like the limo companies, the bus companies. They don't want to be associated anymore. But it seems like the price point actually was like a little low. You know, you could bring in 60 people on a bus and they're charging like $10 per. I mean, how is a 60 person bus charging with $10 per person? Like, that's still a recipe to go nuts.
Bucks. Yeah, that's $600 to just be like, hey, tee off. You earned it.
Erica, what's the most embarrassing thing you've done in tailgates? Or have you gone to a lot of tailgates? Because saw the pictures, I remember last year, and this is you as a
relative adult
going to Nashville in the Patriots game, and you guys were
rented a bus. We had a bartender on the bus in the parking lot, and this was in Nashville, so that was pretty crazy. But we've brought kegs and stuff to Foxborough, and especially in the winter too, we've like, you know, lit stuff on fire, and it's all been safe.
Nothing safer than lighting someone on fire.
Not someone on fire.
What are you lighting on fire?
Like firewood. Like, we've started fires like in the part, like while we're tailgating.
Yeah. Have you been in like a group of people that are like taking shots out of someone's ass?
Yeah. I mean, you haven't.
I have not.
Well, no, like that's not that crazy.
I don't think that's
that
crazy, but I don't want to do it.
I'm not doing it. I'm not taking a shot out of anyone's ass. No
She's
one's putting
the ass.
No, I'm not. No one's getting near my butt.
I'll tell you what, the worst one I ever did was we went to, I think it was Dave Matthews. It was Dave Matthews, my senior year of high school. One of my friends drives, and we get a hotel room right near the amphitheater where this concert's going on at. And we buy a bunch of cases of beer. One of our friends looked like he was like 40 years old. And we put all the beer in the bathtub, filled with ice. And we're just like doing beer funnels, getting wasted. And we were getting so much beer on ourselves that we all just got into our underwear. So we're just in our underwear in this hotel room, like 10 guys, just funneling beers, getting so drunk that like on the way in.
And then we fucked.
My friend is just puking out the window. He's puking out the window and everyone's singing, I drink too much. I eat too much, as my friend's throwing up. And then we pull up. We're like in line to get into the actual place. And I'm like, I've got to go to the bathroom so badly that I open up this van door, the sliding van door, and I run into the bushes and I'm peeing and I hear a cop be like, hey, you, public urination, stop. And I turn and I go to run back into the van and I almost make it. Like, I get into the van where like the top of the van just hits me right like above the eyes. Like right in like the middle of the forehead, and just I was running full sprint and just a van right into the forehead that the cop let me go. He just like saw me on the ground
and was like,
this huge red mark, and was just like, get out of here, kid. Like, you're like, that's punishment enough. You can go home. That was my worst tailgating story.
Shout out to the Pittsburgh police.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a great story about my brother that we don't have time for. Pittsburgh police at that same music venue that please remind me next week to tell the story of my brother at the Coca-Cola Amphitheater. It is
either
it
that
is a gorgeous story,
or save it for season two, Comedy Central.
If you can remember,
you gotta,
till
you
season
gotta pay
two.
For it.
Yeah, you got to pay for this story. Maybe the live podcast. People can come and see that. What is? Let's play another story. Let's play another song. Get into the next one. And we dance like we're on fire. When we sing too loud. But we always find our way when we walk against the crowd. Erica is completely ignoring the 5-second rule. It's just like she's getting bolder and bolder as the contract winds down.
She's losing the plot too, because that song was not, I don't know what it was. It hasn't
fire.
Really been a theme.
Today's fire.
Okay.
Fire in the maternity ward. Fire you for your rape articles. Podcast.
You saved yourself there. That was good. a good job. The next story is in Maine, underrated state, where a man was arrested this week after robbing a bank. But that wasn't the funniest part of the story. It was that he used
his... funny part of the story?
I don't know. You know.
It's not why we're talking about this story.
It's not why we're talking about it. We're getting into this story. An affidavit written by the police in Lewiston, Maine said that a man used his father as a getaway car driver as he robbed a bank, but the father had no idea that he was being used that way. They were driving around that morning. The 39-year-old son said he wanted to get out and go inside the bank.
To cash a check.
He came out and told him to go. And the father later that day was pulled over and realized that his son was using him as a getaway driver.
Yeah, the son robs the bank, gets in the car, is chill, is like, "Dad, take me somewhere else." Dad drops him off and then is driving back by the bank when he gets pulled over. They're like, "That's the car. That's right. The one right there. We have it on video."
The teller was talking to the police at the very moment they're driving.
And they have the son on video and they pull the dad over and the dad is baffled enough that on the spot, they're like, "Oh, you had nothing to do with this." They're like he was that baffled that they were like, "Oh, you're free to go. It's obviously your son lied to you," which is insane to be like, I wasn't a getaway driver. My son fooled me. And it made me think, like, I'm 40 years old. My father is about to turn 70 at the end of August. If I did this to him, I would be so scared. I would rather be in jail for the rest of my life than face my father's wrath. And my dad is the sweetest man in the world. Not like a big man. Has never hurt me in his entire life, physically. Emotionally, sure, I'm a stand-up comedian. Physically, no, never. But if I did this to him, I can't even imagine. Mm. Like, it makes me want to tell the story
Anthony.
Of what my brother did.
Anthony.
That's a bad impression. That's the worst impression I've ever heard.
What were you thinking, Ant?
The worst impression I've ever heard.
What were you thinking? Do you have one? Because he's like a very impressionable. He's a guy who you should have an impression.
Hello, guy.
Yeah, that's better.
Hello,
sorry.
Hello, guy. I got pulled over by the police, and they told me that you had me getaway drive for you to rob a bank. Guy, you don't do that. I would just be just the disappointment. The brows coming together. Would be. I mean, my dad's had to deal with a lot with my siblings and myself growing up. We were not easy children to raise. He's got that, like, the gray hair of someone who's been through some stress. And
five
and that
kids.
Would be,
you're not going to avoid
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and these five kids. But how would your dad? Would your dad, like, would he laugh about it or would he kill you? Would he murder your dad?
I mean, the real answer, he would be filled with an incredible rage that I think he would never let go of.
Nor should he.
I mean, I was gonna say, maybe he would be, you know, maybe he would take it as like there would be at least a small part of him that would almost take it as a compliment that I was like including him on something to do with my life and that I like trusted his driving enough because it's already becoming a thing now that he's getting older. I think it's on his radar that he knows I think he's not as good a driver as he used to be, like when he sure. visits out here in LA, and I'll say something or I'll make sure that I end up driving everywhere. And LA is a tough, you know, town to kind of drive around and follow. And he, you know, it's already at that point where it's like, you know, yeah, I can drive just as well as I used to. So maybe he would, you know, take it
He'd
as a
happy.
Compliment. Yeah, that I'm still that. Like recognizing his youthful appearance.
My dad would just be like, "Guy, I don't understand."
I'm sorry for such a bad impression after listening to yours. Oh
yeah.
My god,
mine is good. Erica, how would your dad feel?
My dad, I think he would just cry out of disappointment, and then my mom would beat the shit out of me.
Yeah,
the other thing that struck me with this story was, you know how much he stole from the bank?
$650.
$620. What's going on in Maine?
If you just go to the teller,
that's the best you can do.
If you don't try to get into the vault, if you don't walk in with, if you just go to the teller. You just take the bills they have right there. That's what you get, but it's easier to get away with that.
What is happening in Maine that's $620? Well, and the dad knew it was up because the son is a drug addict. It's a sad story. He had asked the dad for money earlier that morning, and the dad had given him $15. That's not enough. I guess it's a lesson to dads.
Yeah. Give your kids more money.
Fork it over.
Give your kids more money. I'm a guy that's known to party, get it, pop. All right, that was that song about fire. What's our next story, Greg? We got two more.
Our next story comes from the state of Florida, where at a grocery store, a Publix, which I've been to. Have you ever been to a Publix?
Oh, yeah.
Just like kind of a classic southern grocery store. A shooting occurred this week where a man, 69 years old, was shot while he was in line buying groceries by mistake by his 67-year-old wife, who had a gun on the... on the register, or on the, you know, the little...
It was in her purse.
It was in her purse.
She dropped it.
Dropped the purse, and it shot him in the leg.
Yeah, he tried to say he shot himself by mistake. He tried to take blame, and then they figured out what happened. Listen, I don't want to sound sexist. Erica, you know I love you. All the female listeners we have, both of you guys are great. I don't want this to sound sexist, but this is exactly why women should not be allowed to have guns. I'll tell you, women should not be allowed to own a gun. They shouldn't be allowed to carry a gun. And all men should have to carry purses. All men should wear purses at all times, different kinds of purses, not just like a masculine purse, but like crazy weird purses, because that's their responsibility. Women, give it up. You can't be president. You can't carry a gun. Mm. And men get your purses. What do you think about that, Erica?
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Do you carry a purse?
I do.
I mean, it feels a little harsh.
Like maybe four. I don't carry it all the time. Depends on where.
Is there a gun in there?
Definitely.
Because you shouldn't have one. You should give that purse to me. Give me all your purses.
You got it.
I'd be like the Punisher with just like a bunch of purses all around my neck and back. Because like fanny pack's not cool, but if you got a purse, someone's like, why are you carrying that purse? And be like, you know why I'm carrying that purse. People know you've got a gun.
I mean, they're not fucking around. It feels unfair to, you know, punish the entire gender from the joy of carrying around concealed weapons, especially 67-year-old women, just because Lillian Messier, you know, messed up.
If you can't handle your business, things get taken away from everybody. You know what I mean? That's what America's all about. When something happens with guns in America, America makes some changes right away. Congress gets together and they're like, what are we going to do every time there's something with guns? That when this happens, I don't think I'm going far enough by saying that women can't carry guns anymore and all men have to carry purses. I see the fire in me. Favorite story of the week, Greg, go.
I know you were excited about this one, Anthony. I'm not really sure why, but Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are thrilled, they're over the moon to announce about their new baby boy who was born at 5:26 in the morning just a few days ago as we're taping this on Monday. Prince Harry made the announcement, 7 pounds, 3 ounces. Oh yeah, love those royals.
Okay, let me just say this, all right? I don't want this to be controversial or get anyone in trouble, but I think if you just take the royal baby and the rest of that family, and a little bit of gasoline. Right?
All right.
Right?
All right. That's great. I mean, it's a hot take. It's funny. I feel like, though, of all the things, and I'm not just saying this, in the 32 episodes, that's what we're on now, that of all the things that you've said, Anthony, like, this is the one thing that could get me fired. Like, we cannot air that. Like, it's fine. It's funny. We can say it here. Who knows? Maybe we even put in a beep or whatever. But it's like the one thing.
We've never cut anything from the show in 32 episodes, correct?
That's correct.
And you need to cut this one.
This
what,
is
Erica,
it.
What do you, you're the tiebreaker.
I mean,
what do you think?
No, I think it's really funny and I agree with you. But I think he might get fired.
Like, it's not that I work for the NFL. It's just that we work, period, for like any corporate whatever.
Do you think
it's
Erica fine. Will get fired?
I might.
All right. All right. Let me try. Okay. Let's say this.
Okay.
Okay. You take that goddamn royal baby, you fill it up with premium, and then...
you just said the exact same thing, except louder. How is... How is that going to help me out here?
I feel like I changed some wording to get it under the PG-13.
You did, rating. But you've essentially the same idea, except you said it louder.
Judge Erica, rule on this one?
I mean, it was just like louder.
I can't believe I'm being muted twice on my own podcast. Okay.
Just tone it down. Just say something. Just say. Just
okay. You can like get to the idea okay. of what you're saying, listen. But just like a little less.
Okay. How about this? Okay. I hope the royal baby gets strangled to death in its crib by the corpse of Princess Diana.
Yeah, that works.
See? How hard was that?
Let's get to.
Choo choo.
Recommendation station. Greg, you want to go first? Now that your job is safe, you pussy.
Relax. you know, it's like we don't all have specials coming out. Plus, it's like, why you got to say that about the little royal baby? I'm going to recommend The Idiot by Elif Batuman. This is a novel. Came out about 2 years ago, now in paperback. I know a lot of people, you kind of look for different qualities in books. A lot of people need a tight plot, like a lot of action. I like, you know, I love those books too, but the books that kind of stick with me the most are the ones that have a really memorable voice, like a singular voice. And this is one of those for me. I think I'll remember this book forever. Not like a ton happens. It's about a freshman at Harvard in 1995, a woman, it's pretty autobiographical, who's a little disconnected, I would say, from the world around her, like very smart. And she has this relationship with an older student there that starts almost entirely over email. Just as email was starting, and then, you know, they're at Harvard, eventually follows them to Budapest for a summer. It really reminded me of how intense emailing was early on. Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. You'd write, like, these giant missives, and, like, they would send them out to people.
It was like, you know, I would have such weird, like, creative and emotional, like, email relationships. I mean, I had them in real life too, you know, with these people, but with like girlfriends or girls you wanted to be your girlfriend, or even like friends. And it was a very like strange, I don't know, when email first started, what? It was like a strange phenomenon.
No, I understand.
You know what I mean?
Extent,
because like, no one had, there had never been such a thing before. And it kind of just like, and we were eight, we were like essentially entering college or ending high school at that time. So it was just like, you know, right when you're in adolescence and your hormones are going wild and everything's going wild.
Yeah, like email brought me a lot closer to my friends from high school, because you'd like get to high school and I was like talking to these girls that I barely talked to in high school, but we would send each other these like giant emails every day about what was going on, and became like close over it because it was just a new thing. And now,
right, you put so much like work into it too. It'd be like I put more work into that than like my creative writing class in college. And I think it was like, now that you're 20 years removed, it's almost like, okay, the first like really smart types of novels are being written about that time.
So The Idiot by who?
The Idiot by Elif Batuman.
And who wrote the original of The Idiot? It's a famous
Dostoevsky,
yes.
Which now I'm actually going to read after this. Which is another thing people should do when they're reading.
Is it like a callback? It seems weird to name a book after a famous.
It sort of is.
Book.
She's called both of her books after Dostoevsky books, and I think it's not really a callback, but I think there's like sort of some like vague similarities. But I do want to say like there's a common thread I think between her and a lot of the authors we've talked about on this podcast. So Tessa Moshfegh, who I think is the unofficial or official author of the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project. RJVP. Shit.
God damn it.
It's been
Do it again.
Such a good episode.
Do it again.
The unofficial author of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project. JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
And like a few I haven't mentioned, Sheila, Heidi, Rachel Cusk, Jenny Offal. And it's like almost all these women that are writing now, it's almost like they're having like a conversation with each other. I don't know. It's very interesting.
I feel like women finally got good at writing.
that's not what I mean, but like almost like they're talking about like how alienating it is and disconnected it is to be a woman today, or just, but and often in a very hilarious way. Some of the reviews I read for this book totally missed how fucking hilarious it was, like really dry humor. But I didn't miss it. Elif, if you're out there listening, I love you.
I will check it out. Listen, my recommendation station, I'm going back to your old Droog. I know I recommended him 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
His new album, it wasn't even close. But and everyone was like, oh, you think old Droog's so great? Wait until Schoolboy Q comes out in a week.
That's
and
good.
And I love Schoolboy Q. I love him.
I like that album.
But I downloaded it. I've been listening to that. It's great. But I keep going back to Your Old Droog, and I keep on finding new songs. I keep on finding new songs every single time that I love it. And everyone's saying, like, aren't you guys friends? Aren't you and Old Droog friends? Not really. We've never met and never talked on the phone. If he walked in here right now and just went by his real name, I wouldn't know who the fuck he was. But really? I love his music. He respects my comedy. So go listen to the fucking album already. Your Old Droog, it wasn't even close. His best one yet. And I'm on the last one. And I think this one's his best one yet. That's how good this album is. Erica, you got a recommendation?
He's talking to you because there's no way she's listened to Your Old Droog. Get your act together.
Okay. I'm going to recommend Lizzo's album because I love you.
How do you spell Lizzo?
Lizzo.
Is she famous? Like, should I have heard of her?
Yes.
Yeah.
She had a couple of other ones that like didn't, that sort of made the underground scene. This album is sort of putting her on like top 40. Like, she was featured at the Met Gala last night and, you know, sort of like, oh, what's Lizzo wearing? So it's like kind of put her on the map. But there's one song with featuring Missy Elliott called Tempo. It's track 7 on the album, and it is so good. You want to know what song I listen to when I get out of the shower? It's that one.
Okay. I'm down for Missy Elliott. I've never heard of Lizzo.
She's great.
What would you describe her like? Is it like more of a dance kind of thing?
She's like a almost like a rapper with a awesome singing voice, and
she's like Eminem.
Exactly.
She's like a more
I clicked her by accident.
Wow, that was exciting. Yeah. She's more like a more peppy, like upbeat Missy Elliott, like a little more catchy, but sort of in the same vein, I feel like 20 years.
I mean, I love Missy Elliott, and I'll listen to anything she guests on. So I will check out that track, I promise you, if you listen to
I will.
Good as Hell is an old song of hers that is like an amazing song. Truth Hurts is my favorite Lizzo song.
And that was
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station. And now, Erica, take us home.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball. Slow songs, they for skinny hoes. Can't move all of this here to one of those. I'm a thick bitch. I need tempo.
Why would you think that you doing it would make me want to listen to it?
That was good, though. I like that.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.